But nobody in his right mind wants to see them stay in the nursery forever. Whenever a baby does not grow physically, we become alarmed. We call upon medical science to help us to correct whatever is wrong. And we look upon the lack of physical growth with a little baby as an abnormality. Do we have the same concern spiritually? There are people who have been professing Christians for years and years and years, and yet they're babes in Christ. Do we have any concern? The Bible has a concern. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For the Apostle Paul writes, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Or turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. The Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 5 at verse 11. "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We may not have a concern, but God has a concern. In 1 Peter 2:2, we have, "Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, it's a tremendous privilege to be a redeemed child of God. What a great blessing it is to be one of the redeemed ones, to know that you belong to the family of God. But it is also a tremendous responsibility, beloved. And it's also a tremendous blessing to have the privilege of spiritual growth. God wants a believer to grow spiritually. But now, what are the areas of growth? Where does God want us to grow spiritually? First of all, in knowledge and understanding. 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 14:20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." Colossians 1:10, "That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." We have just read from Hebrews 5, where the writer of Hebrews talks about the milk and the meat of the word. Now, the writer of Hebrews is not talking primarily about the area of truth, but the depth of truth. Deepening in our knowledge and our understanding of God's revealed truth. Now, the evidence of our immaturity, the evidence that we are still spiritual babies, are these areas. Our lack of knowledge. We really don't know what's in this book. We really don't understand the revealed truth of God. Another area, that we're completely dependent upon other people, other Christians, all of the time. In other words, we can't carry it alone as a believer. And we have an inability to apply the Word of God to our daily living. These are evidences of our lack of spiritual growth and maturity. And the admonition of the Scripture is, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Notice what it says in Hebrews 5:14. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." You know what our number one problem is? You know what our number one problem really is? We don't take the Christian life seriously. We don't take the Christian life seriously. You think about it a minute. I've thought about this a great, great deal. The fact, for the reason why we really don't get into the Word, why we really don't get in here and ruminate in the Word, and chew on the Word, and feed on the Word, and apply the Word, and think about the Word, and meditate upon the Word, and apply it to our daily living, is basically because we don't take the Christian life seriously. We take our physical life seriously. Boy, we're concerned about medicine and drugs and our physical well-being and our insurance policies and everything for our security, for our physical life. But beloved, this physical life, this 70 or 80 or 90 years at the most, is a drop in the bucket measured against eternity. And the Lord in His amazing grace and His blessings upon us right now in this life is enabling us and providing for us that we may grow spiritually and be more and more conformed to the likeness of our Savior, so as we stand in His presence on that glorious day, we shall see Him face to face and we shall be like Him. And He wants us to grow. Now this summons of the Scripture to grow in grace and in knowledge is both an intellectual and an experiential personal knowledge. And the way we come to it is meditating and studying in the Scriptures. Ruminating. Just as you see an old cow out there in the pasture, chewing on that grass and chewing its cud, chewing on it. This is what God wants us to do with the Word. Chew the Word. Ruminate in the Word. Get into the Word. Apply the Word. Think about the Word. Meditate in the Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to apply it to your life every day. There's a very excellent little book that has just recently been published by R.C. Sproul called Knowing Scripture. I highly recommended it, and I'm not selling bricks. I'm not selling books for the bookstore. But it's an excellent book. But R.C. Sproul, who is the head of the Ligonier Valley Study Center, the PCA minister, makes a statement in here that I think is so important today. This is what R.C. Sproul says. He says, I have often been tempted to write a book by the title, The Sensuous Christian. The sensuous woman, the sensuous man, the sensuous couple, the sensuous divorcee, ad nauseum, all have become bestsellers. Why not the sensuous Christian? What is a sensuous Christian? One dictionary defines sensuous as pertaining to the senses or sensible objects, highly susceptible to influence through the senses. The sensuous Christian is one who lives by his feelings rather than through his understanding of the Word of God. The sensuous Christian cannot be moved to service, prayer, or study unless he feels like it. His Christian life is only as effective as the intensity of his present feelings. When he experiences spiritual euphoria, he is a whirlwind of godly activity. When he is depressed, he is a spiritual incompetent. He constantly seeks new and fresh spiritual experiences and uses them to determine the Word of God. His inner feelings become the ultimate test of truth. The sensuous Christian doesn't need to study the Word of God because he already knows the will of God by his feelings. He doesn't want to know God, he wants to experience Him. The sensuous Christian equates childlike faith with ignorance. He thinks that when the Bible calls us to childlike faith, it means a faith without content, a faith without understanding. He doesn't know what the Bible says. In evil be bathed, but in your thinking be mature. He doesn't realize that Paul tells us again and again, my beloved brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The sensuous Christian goes his merry way until he encounters a pain of life that is not so merry, and he falls. He usually ends up embracing a kind of relational theology, that most dreadful curse in modern Christianity, where personal relationship and experience take precedence over the Word of God. If the Scripture calls us to action that may jeopardize a personal relationship, then the Scripture must be compromised. The highest law of the sensuous Christian is that bad feelings must be avoided at all costs. Now, isn't it true? How much of our Christian life we operate by the way we feel. And we ignore the Word. And we don't dig into the Word. And we don't grow. Because we're dependent upon how we feel at any given moment, rather than basing our faith upon thus saith the Lord and getting into the Word. And so you and I are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second area where we're to grow is in holiness, in Christlikeness of character. The Scriptures exhort the believer to grow in grace, increase the fruits of righteousness, to grow up into Christ in all things, to increase and abound in love. We read in 2 Peter 1:5. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. We read in Ephesians, to come unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, you and I are called to a life of righteousness. You and I are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, but in order that you and I might become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's supposed to influence our character, our conduct. We're to become Christ-like. We are to become those who are conformed to the image or the likeness of our blessed Lord. Now, the Lord hasn't left us alone to do this. What has He given us as a means of grace in order that we can grow in knowledge and understanding, and in order that we may grow in Christ-likeness, in holiness and righteousness? He's given us the Holy Spirit. We read in Philippians 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You don't have to carry the load alone. Not if you're a believer. He has sent the Holy Spirit into your life to empower you, to encourage you, to enable you. He's given you the written Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, what? May be thoroughly, thoroughly perfect in every good work. And He has given you and me the Word in order that we may feed and grow. He's given us the privilege and the power of prayer, for we can open up our hearts to the Lord and cry out to Him and call upon Him and commune and fellowship with Him. He's given us Christian fellowship. Exhort one another daily, says the New Testament. Now, you may not believe this, but it's true. We need each other. I need you, and I think maybe you need me, and you need help. Because we need to exhort one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to undergird one another. There's some times when we need to pick at each other and say, come on, you're not doing this thing right with the Lord. And there are times when we need to be encouraged, and we need to have the brother or the sister of the Lord come along, pat us on the back and say, come on, you're doing great, let's keep going. Exhort one another daily. We need Christian fellowship. And we need Christian service. This is developing our spiritual muscle. Remember, beloved, Jesus says in John 17, we're sent to the world. Mark it down in your little black book. We were not saved to soak. We were not saved to soak. We're sent to the world. And when we see a need, and when we don't respond in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not only disobedience. It's an evidence of spiritual immaturity. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And we can be strictly orthodox and lifeless. And we need Christian service to develop our muscles. So in conclusion, here are some questions that we need to ask ourselves as we consider the blessing of spiritual growth. The Lord doesn't want you and me to remain spiritual babies. He says so in His Word. He wants us to grow in knowledge and understanding and in Christ-likeness. Here are the questions. How seriously do I take the Lord and His Word? How seriously do I take the Lord and His Word? How long have I been a Christian? 6 months? 6 years? 16 years? 60 years? How long have I been a professing Christian? How much have I grown spiritually? Now, actually, you and I ought to be able to look back to a year ago and look over this past year and see where we have grown spiritually. In some area of our life, in some area of understanding, in some area of conformity to the likeness of Jesus Christ. How much of God's truth do I know and understand? Can I take my Bible and sit down in someone's living room? Even with the rudiments, with the ABCs, can I sit down with the Word and go through that Word and lead someone to the Savior? Do I even know that much scripture? Do I even have that much understanding of the Word where I can sit down with the Word of God in someone's living room and share with them God's plan of salvation, turning to this verse, turning to that verse, saying what God has said in this area? How dependent am I on someone else's faith and knowledge? Spiritually. How dependent am I on someone else? Can I go it alone spiritually? If I didn't have any other believers around, if there were no other Christians in my immediate vicinity, could I go it alone, spiritually speaking? Based upon my relationship with the Lord, my knowledge of His Word. Am I able to apply God's Word practically to my everyday living?
When I come up against these problems, I come up against these questions, I come up against these perplexities, can I go to the Word and find God's answer? Can I apply it to my life daily as I come up against things? You see, this is one of the benefits of the Word. This isn't just a textbook for a theological seminary. This isn't relegated to a group of young theologians in an ivory tower somewhere where they philosophize and speculate and postulate and all the rest of those things. This is God's Word written. A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Have I arrived at such spiritual maturity that I can take this Word and apply it to my daily living? What about my children? What about this question about raising my children? Or that decision that I have to make? Or my relationship with my mate? Can I use the Word of God in this way? Do I know how to share Jesus Christ with someone else? How often have I done it? Because the Lord says you're to be my witnesses. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And so these are the questions that you and I need to face as we come up against this question, am I growing spiritually? God wants us to grow. He's provided everything that we need. You see, you and I don't have to remain babies. We said that when a physical baby doesn't grow, the whole world looks upon that baby as abnormal. But isn't our spiritual life as equally important as our physical life? Of course, I'm prejudiced. I think it's a lot more important. But just on a 50-50. What about our spiritual growth? What about our spiritual maturity? This is a blessing of the Christian life. God in His love and His grace has given you and given me everything that we need in order that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our blessed Lord, and in order that we may grow in likeness to Him. The blessing of spiritual growth. May we pray.